Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to what is probably the last episode of 2016, so we can finally say goodbye to the dumpster fire that has been this year.
Welcome to Funk Radio.
The dumpster fire of podcasts.
Oh god, that's so true.
We're like two homeless men huddled around a trash can fire, burning funk for warmth.
Your name is Kyle, and my name is Peter.
Yes. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to end this year. I mean, I'm looking forward to the holidays, I suppose, but I think this is the first year I've looked more forward to New Year's than Christmas.
Lots of things to look forward to next year.
Yeah, I feel like a certain R.E.M. song is appropriate to play right now.
Well, speaking of the holiday season and songs, we have a thing to talk about today.
Great segue. Yeah, since it's the end of the year and Christmas is next weekend, we pulled a topic out of our asses and a little bit, and decided to talk about all the songs that were number one during Christmas Day for pretty much every year between 1967 and 2016 to ring in 2017. So there's a lot of interesting songs on here. We're not gonna play all of them because our show would be like 4 hours long.
But 50 years worth of songs, so we're not gonna.
Math. But we'll play a handful of ones that we find especially interesting or noteworthy.
So
do we just want to like each take a decade? Do we just want to each?
I figured we would just like look around and see what we found interesting. I will say up front that luckily Billboard has like the archives of like all its years past of what songs were in the Hot 100 or at number one in any given week of any given year, which is super helpful for this particular topic.
They've always been kind of the title bearer for song popularity. I mean, there's other charts, there's R&B charts, there's genre charts, whatever, what have you, but the top 100 is always the one everyone's chasing, so.
Yeah. Interestingly, I guess just to start us off, no Christmas songs in this list at all.
Yeah, that's what I thought was funny.
I guess as popular as Christmas songs can be, they're never number one, even on Christmas.
Yeah, I would assume not, unless... I mean, I'm sure if you go down the list, there's probably Christmas songs in the top 100 around Christmas, but definitely not number one.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you noticed, Kyle, on this list that I have here of all 50 years past, some of them have numbers at the end.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
I didn't actually tell you that before we started recording. Those are the number of weeks, consecutive weeks that was at number one. Wow. So for example... I think the longest one I found was in 1995, One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. That was number one for 16 consecutive weeks.
The sad thing about that is I have never heard that song, so I'm actually going to YouTube right now to listen to it.
We should play a clip of that song so that we can hear what it
sounds
like. We
should play a clip because I've never heard it before. I don't know what that says about us that I'm going through this list and I haven't heard a lot of these songs. So I'm like, obviously, I'm not in tune with what's popular or what was ever popular.
I kind of had the same thing a bit. As time goes on in this list, I recognize fewer and fewer of the songs and even the artists. Like if you're looking at the late, because we're starting in the late 60s, looking at the 60s and the 70s, even through the 80s, I recognize most, if not all, of those songs.
I mean, 68, I heard it through the grapevine, big song, stuff like that.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine was number one on Christmas in 1968. Going forward into the 90s, I know some of them. By the time you hit 2000 and onward, I maybe only know like a couple of those songs. And especially 2010 to now, I don't think... I think I recognize like two of them.
In the last 7 years. I recognize four. I'm more popular, apparently. No, sorry. Look,
you seem to have at least a slightly better idea of what's popular at the moment.
To be fair, it's only because my significant other listens to Top 40 stuff. But yeah, that's a good point. I mean, again, we're not listing all the songs here, but I mean, as I mentioned earlier, 68 had I Heard Through the Grapevine, 72 had Me and Mrs. Jones with the late Billy Paul, Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. I thought that was Cats in the Cradle and the Silver. I always thought that song was shit. What's his face? The guy that like changed his name to a Muslim name, Cat Stevens. I always thought that was a Cat Stevens song, maybe because it has the word cats in it. That's probably the only reason, actually. Now that I think about it, I'm an idiot. That's the Way I Like It by Casey and the Sunshine Band, which you actually saw a couple of years ago, or probably like 4 years ago now, in San Diego, right?
In 2012, yeah. That was cool. Yeah, they were great.
Did they play that song?
Probably.
Sweet. How deep is your love by the Bee Gees? I've never heard that, even though I like the Bee Gees.
I think that's one of their, like, slow ballad songs, if I remember correctly.
Oh, Calvin Harris did a remix of it. So that's why that sounded familiar to me. I don't like Calvin Harris that much, but I'm aware of that song.
We should play a clip of How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees, since we're talking about it.
Sounds good. And it's me you need to show. I wonder if that's actually even the same song.
Is it just another song by the same name?
I think it really is. I'm listening to both of them back to back here. God, the Bee Gees were awesome. So yeah, that was the How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees. Nothing to do with the Calvin Harris version, apparently. Although I recommend both, I guess.
I like how I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
God.
It was 1992. For 14 consecutive weeks.
Damn. Yeah, she was like the female Michael Jackson, basically. And then she became a drug addict and died. Yeah.
Just like Michael Jackson.
Do you think, like, she had, like, a baggie of cocaine and was just like, I will always love you.
You think I Will Always Love You was addressed to cocaine?
Yes, I think it was.
So speaking of Michael Jackson, he was actually number one in the year prior, in 91.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he was.
With
he
sang his song Black and White. I don't think I've heard that one.
Yeah, that was later on in his career. It's a good song. We could play a clip of it if you'd like.
I think we should so that I can hear it, and the listeners can as well. Were there any in this list that surprised you?
Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg and Pharrell in 2004 kind of surprised me. I'm also actually very surprised it was that high for 12 weeks. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more I'm looking at it, I think that may be like the first kind of official instance of like a rap song being number one. Because I'm looking down past 2004 and I don't see any other rap artists. I mean, R. Kelly, I guess. You can't really. He's more like R&B, though. Yeah, yeah. R. Kelly's R&B, Tony Braxton. Yeah, so there's a surprising thing that a rap song was not number one, especially number one for 12 weeks until about 2004. And then the following year was Chris Beat Bitches Brown.
Was it?
Yay.
Was there none until 2004? No rap songs at all?
Not that I'm seeing. I mean, rap kind of first became popular in the 80s. Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Yeah, that was in 2002.
So that may actually be the first. Leave It to a White Man, too.
Well, actually, yeah, but here's something. There's two things we're not seeing. One is that we're not seeing the top 40 of this time period. So there could obviously be a lot of rap songs in the top 40. But also, we're only seeing the number ones at a specific date in the year.
Also true.
So I guess you could say Eminem might have been the first rap song during Christmas.
That was popular.
That was number one. So, yeah. It's kind of
hard to become a Christmas staple. But yeah, I mean, none of these really surprise me. I've heard of like most. I've heard of all the artists, not necessarily all the songs.
Right.
Except I've never heard 1994. Here Comes the Hot Stepper by Aini Kamoze. I have never heard of that in my life. Have you?
I have no idea who that is or what that song is. No.
Exactly.
Like I said, like starting in the 90s-ish, I started to recognize fewer of them.
I gotta play this song for myself just so I can be like, what the fuck is this? Oh, this may be the first rap song.
Oh.
It's like reggae. What is this?
We should let the listeners hear it's not, as well. This is
we're experiencing this with you, listeners.
Yeah, here, let's play a little clip of "Here Comes the Hot Stepper" by what is it? Aini Kamoze.
Aini Kamoze.
This was number one on the charts
in 1994
on Christmas in '94. A few years after that, in 1997, Elton John hit number one with Candle in the Wind, 1997 / Something About the Way You Look Tonight, which was number one for 14 weeks. That one was interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One is because it's two songs. So
yeah,
apparently that was a double A-side record. So two songs that were, I guess, were both considered pop hits. So the two of them actually like hit number one together rather than just one or the other. Also, if I remember correctly, I think I read that that is considered the most, God, what is it? Like, I don't know if it's the best selling double A side of all time or something like that. I can look it up really quick, but that one apparently is like one of the top ones of all time. So, huh. That's a thing.
Well, Elton John was kind of like king of the 90s. I mean, he wrote basically every popular Disney song.
Yeah, so Candle in the Wind, 1997. And it's named that because I think he remade it. Like, he did a song earlier on called Candle in the Wind, and then he redid it in 1997, I believe. It says, the biggest selling single since UK and US singles charts began in the 1950s. Having accumulated worldwide sales of 33 million copies.
Jesus.
So, yeah, he was kind of popular.
Yeah, apparently.
We should play a clip of that.
We should, because it's important. So that
it can be popular with the listeners, too. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset
when the rain set in. So, yeah, that was Candle in the Wind by Elton John. Interesting.
Another small interesting thing I noticed in between 2010 and 2011. So 2010, Christmas Day, the top song was Firework by Katy Perry. Now, if you look at how that like carries over into 2011, it was three consecutive weeks, and then the week after that, it switched to Grenade by Bruno Mars. Then the week after that, it was back to Firework. Then the week after that, it was back to Grenade. Then 2 weeks later, it went to Hold It Against Me After That by Britney Spears, and then again, it went back to Grenade for two more weeks. So,
interesting.
They both jumped back and forth, so I guess they were really like equally popular, basically, at the time.
They must have been. I'm not a huge fan of Katy Perry, not gonna lie. She has nice boobs.
We don't I agree. But we're not gonna play Katy Perry.
I could sing my own rendition of it if you'd like.
No, don't do that. Here's a Calvin Harris song in 2011. I know you like him so much, Kyle.
I just don't like him because while I like electronic music and he made his start as a DJ, he very quickly morphed into just, I'm going to glom myself onto every popular pop song and then just throw in my little DJ mixture into the pop song, and then just so that they can say featuring Calvin Harris.
You think that he kind of sold himself out to pop music?
Sort of. I mean, the reason I say that is because I've been complaining about this for a while, but the continual, what's the word, mitosis between, or meiosis, whatever, between pop music and electronic music is really annoying to me, and he was one of the kind of progenitors of that, where, like, he would have, at first it started with his songs, and then he would bring on pop singers to sing his songs, so it'd be Calvin Harris featuring whatever, but then it slowly morphed where pop artists were releasing songs, and they're like, oh, we have to have Calvin Harris in a song, because he's popular with the club people. And so now, in 2016, if you look at, like, probably if you look at the top 40 chart, I guarantee, like, half of those songs are pop artist featuring electronic artist, or pop artist featuring rapper you've never heard of featuring electronic artist.
So you would rather they, like, be more separate?
To a degree. I just don't like the whole blah, blah, blah featuring blah, blah, blah and blah, blah, blah. It just seems like a cash grab way for artists to, quote, collaborate, even though it's really just, you know, giant record producers creating this shit anyways.
That's a good point.
It just seems like a huge cash grab to be like, oh, we got, you know, it's like how really shitty movies try to sell themselves by saying, look at all the famous actors we have in our movie. It's the same thing.
It doesn't really, well, usually it doesn't help, though. Usually a shitty movie will still do bad, even if it has really popular people in it.
Exactly.
We did have I do remember we had an episode, maybe it was this year. I feel like we should do, like, remembering moments from this year, but I don't remember anything.
Remembering things I bitched about this year.
Yeah. We did do an episode that we actually talked about this specific thing of why are so many people featuring each other on the music.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
I'm trying to remember when we did it. I'm trying to look it up.
I guess the best question of this entire list is, who the fuck is Ray Shremmerd and Gucci Mane?
What year are you looking at?
This year. Apparently it's the most popular song leading up to this Christmas. Black
Beatles by Ray Shremmerd featuring Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
Shremmerd. That bit confused me. I forgot. I was actually going to bring that up because... I figured there wasn't going to be one yet for this because this is the week of December 18th.
Not Christmas? Mm-hmm.
Although I guess they release it on Saturdays because it says December 17th. But from November 26th to the end of the year, basically, it's this song.
Wow.
But
I'm going to have to listen to this song.
I think we'll have to play it just because I don't know what it is. But I'm more confused by... How do they already know it's number one next week as well?
That's a good point.
Because that issue is like a week away from coming out, so I don't know.
This is the song that they use in that stupid mannequin challenge.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so there's this thing going around the internet right now. Remember, like, a year ago when everyone was dumping ice water on their heads?
The ice bucket challenge.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a new version. This is a new thing. It basically, it's a new YouTube meme that people are doing, where what they do, and don't ask me how I know this, is they freeze in place, and a bunch of people freeze in place doing something, and then someone takes a phone or a camera and, like, you know, cinematographies through the crowd of people frozen in place, and every time they play this song, and I don't know why.
That's really weird. Well, let's play a clip for the listeners, because I hadn't heard the song previously. It sounds like you did. That girl is a real crowd, please. Small world, all her friends know of me. Young bull living like an old geese. Quick release the cash, watch it fall slowly. Frat girl still trying to get even. Yeah, listening to this song, I personally don't care for it. But apparently a lot of people do, because it's number one.
Yeah.
Although that's another topic I think we hit this year on the show was talking about, and again, I'm trying to figure out when we actually did it. Oh, it was episode 123. we talked about how popular music actually works and how like stuff that's on the pop charts is somewhat manufactured by the record labels. They do collect, you know, some kind of data from somewhere. I don't remember where exactly it was, you know, to gauge this, but for the most part, you know, it's not entirely what people like. It's kind of like what's put out there, and then people are like, okay, I guess that's popular now.
Didn't we figure out that part of it was partly in collaboration with like actual radio stations or something?
I think it used to be more than it is now, because like back in the day, I mean, when I say that, I'm talking about as late as the 80s, but mostly before that, where like local radio DJs, what they played was often what became popular. Whereas now it's like the record,
on Spotify.
Right. And there's only, you know, maybe two or three record labels that own everybody. And so they basically just say, okay, this is what we are deeming popular. If your listeners want to find episode 123 and go listen to that, I think it's a bit more concise what I'm saying right now, but, one minor correction there. Apparently we did that in July of last year.
Oh, wow.
So time really flies on funk radio. What was the other one I was trying to find?
I don't remember. Oh, the one about artists featuring artists.
Yeah, that was probably even earlier than that. I'll have to find that.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I can officially say, fuck that song, Black Beatles. 2015, however, did have
Is that our official stance as funk radio? Fuck that
yes.
song.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. However, in 2015, the number one song is a song that I can actually appreciate because I bought and like the album is the song Hello by Adele.
Oh, yeah.
That album actually came out in November, I remember, because I grabbed it at Target, and it was crazy popular. And I like Adele. I think she has a really good voice. I think she's, like, one of the few popular artists that is, like, a genuine artist.
Mm-hmm.
Not to sound like a dick, but, like, how do I say it? Genuinely vocally talented.
And yeah, not just, yeah. Like, I can appreciate that, yeah.
Auto-tuned to shit. But yeah, no, that song, Hello, I remember when it came out, too, there was a funny, like, mashup gif where they mashed up that song with Lionel Richie's Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For, or whatever. That was really funny. Plus, I remember for Christmas, you got me a mug that says, it has Lionel Richie's face, and it says, Hello, is it tea you're looking for? And I found that very funny.
Yay.
No, seriously, actually, that was like the best Christmas cup ever, and I actually do kind of collect coffee cups because I drink too much coffee.
Yeah, there were some good songs in the older ones, too. I mean, there's not a whole lot we can say in this context, I guess, other than that they existed.
Other than, yeah, they were popular at one point during Christmas.
I finally found which episode it was that we talked about, like, people featuring other
artists
people.
Featuring artists.
Good lord, it was way earlier than I thought. Oh, wow. It's at the beginning of last year, so almost 2 years ago. Episode
137.
No, episode 89.
Oh, okay.
So
it's really sad that I think, because you said that episode 127 or something was last July, so it's, and we're on episode 179, I think, now. So
what was the other one?
A year and a half.
Oh, popular music.
You said it was like episode 127
123
or something. But to think that we've gone from 123 to 179 in a year and a half, that doesn't seem like a lot of episodes.
We've definitely slowed down, but I think we're still doing almost one a week. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, true. I mean, that would be about 50 a year, so, and that's 23, 79. Math is hard. That's about 56, 57 in a year and a half, so taking a couple breaks.
We did take a couple of breaks, yeah. So, okay, well, yeah, gosh, time really flies on this damn podcast because
I know
I look back to, you know, what we did a year ago, and I feel like some of those episodes we just did.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I remember you mentioned the Shaq episode, and that was like episode 150 something, and you're like, oh yeah, we did that in like August. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm gonna scroll. Yeah, 143. So when was that? I think that was in That was March of this year.
That was March?
Yeah.
Shit.
I feel like we just did that.
God. I know, exactly. Oh, man.
So, any other things you want to say about the show that we've accomplished this year? Apparently neither of us know what we covered this year. Or what we covered 2 years ago.
Touche. I think we've slowly gotten into a decent groove where we're mostly doing one a week, outside of, like, the occasional hiatus or, like, oops, I'm too busy this weekend.
Right.
I think, aside from probably this episode, because we're kind of grasping at straws a little bit.
Yeah, a little.
I think our episode content has gotten better in kind of us breaking out from just let's talk about Funk and Soul specifically and only that. It's talking about more interesting things like the history of different musical aspects, the history of music technology, talking about, like we said before, artists featuring other artists. I think allowing us to kind of expand out from just that very small subtopic and allows us to talk about more interesting things and more random things that hopefully will garner us a slightly wider audience.
Yeah, I'm
glad...
Five
listeners.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was actually going to say the same thing, is that I've thought a couple of times recently that, like, wow, we actually do, like, we cover some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. To tell someone, oh, hey, this podcast exists, and they go look at it, I feel like they'd be like, oh, those are, like, interesting things.
Exactly. I mean, separate from our terrible personalities and proclivity to accidentally talk over each other, I think overall our topics are interesting enough that, you know, if you point someone who's generally interested in music, they may enjoy a handful of our episodes. They may not listen to every single one.
Yeah.
But there's something for everyone.
More and more, I think I'm starting to realize that the lack of high listenership isn't necessarily that we are doing a bad job or that we don't have an interesting show, as much as just podcasts are not a super popular. Well, they're a dime a dozen, but they're also just not a super popular way to consume media in general.
Yeah.
Unless you're like one of those super popular ones that millions of people listen to.
Yeah, it's like YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of a YouTube channel, I guess.
There was a YouTube guy that I watch. I think I've sent him to you and Dan a couple times. Mike Triboni. He's the guy. He has a channel on YouTube called like Bro Science, where he plays this like super alpha bro talking about like working out and stuff. But it's like a total like spoof on the whole thing, and he did an episode recently talking about, in his normal persona, not his super alpha bro persona, talking about making videos with, you know, his friends. He basically said, like, we had under 1,000 subscribers for over 5 years. And then 1 year we just exploded, and now they're like in the top 50 on YouTube.
Huh.
So it's one of those things where for some people it's a steady growth of listeners. For some people it's just hitting the right note and just all of a sudden you blow up.
Yeah.
So, and he basically said, like, you know, if we didn't love what we did, we would have stopped doing it 5 years ago, but we stuck it out for 5 years and not really giving a shit. And I think he was kind of saying, you know, not giving a shit about the popularity of it and just doing things that you find interesting or that you think are fun or funny, you know, the listeners will come kind of thing, or the viewers will come in that case. And I think that's kind of true for us too. I mean, if we specifically did it just to, you know, be popular and gain, I don't know, followers, we wouldn't be talking about the shit we talk about anyways.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we probably would have stopped after, you know, within the first 50 episodes or so.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're still doing this, and we are into our fifth year now.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll have even more fun and interesting and non-always funk-related topics. We're going to have to change the name of our podcast. Instead of Funk Radio, it's just going to have to be Shit Radio.
Well, I think we still kind of use those genres, as even if we're not talking about those genres specifically a lot of the time, I feel like those are still kind of the lens look through when we're looking at music stuff a lot of the time. It still has some relevance.
True.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what we come up with this next year.
Yeah, we have a couple of decent ideas written down in our running list, so you listeners can look forward to some, at least a handful of interesting ones starting in the new year.
Yeah.
More to come.
Well, on that note, thanks for listening this year. If you haven't, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. Or if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, then that's cool. You should say something to us there.
Yeah, at soundcloud.com/getyourfunk.
And you can click subscribe. Button. I always get that wrong. What the hell is it?
Is it like?
It's follow. Well, you can like the tracks, but you can follow us in general. Mm. And you were saying...
We sound like those YouTube bitches. And be sure to subscribe to my channel.
Like and subscribe. Yeah,
exactly. And you can also follow us on Mixcloud.com, although you can't comment, and we use it more as a back catalog for old episodes. Mm-hmm. But you can listen to all of our stuff there if you like the current stuff you've seen on SoundCloud. And you can download all three of those as apps on your phone. So
that's true. And every time you play one of our tracks, we get $10.
I wish.
We don't get shit.
Yeah. It's like, oh yay, I made $10 this year. If I had a dollar for every listener we had, I'd have a dollar.
You know, if it worked that way, I would just like play them on my phone all the time.
Or something. They'd probably figure it out. Yeah, exactly. They'd figure it out.
Oh God. Well, yeah, we don't do it for the money. We do it because we love you listeners.
We do it for the honey.
God. All right. So yeah, this is our last episode of the year. We're gonna take a break for a couple of weeks for Christmas and New Year's.
Back in 2017, hopefully, with a much better year to follow. Yeah. Current affairs wise.
All right. Bye. Happy holidays, listeners.